Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. Subscribe if you're new to the channel, and download your favorite scary story from my Apple Podcast or Spotify, Tales from the Dark Forest. Now, if you're ever going out to go camping with your significant other to be a little frisky and be adventurous or whatnot, just keep your guard up. When you think you're alone, you truly are never alone in the woods. The fire crackled and danced before them, the winds circling all around them. The sky so abundant with stars, it was reminiscent of an ice cream cone with sprinkles. This was why they loved the outdoors. Away from the hustle and bustle of big city life, nothing but a few pairs of clothes in their backpack, some tinned food, and a tent to provide them with shelter. There was peace. They had the whole campsite to themselves, as none seemed to be interested in camping at this time of year. "Do you think there's anything else out there?" Jane asked Paul, looking up at the sky. "Well, of course, there's bears, birds, and all sorts of wildlife," Paul replied with a smile. "Once, just once, it would be nice not to get a little silly answer to a question," Jane laughed. Paul continued, "I definitely think so. I don't see how we could be the only intelligent life in this whole galaxy. I'm sure somewhere there must be some sort of life form that's similar to ours in some ways." They continued to lay on the blanket positioned as close to the fire as possible for as much warmth as they could get. For a while, they simply laid there in silence. The silence was not due to there being no topic of conversation, but more so that they were content simply laying side by side, looking up at the infinite stars while being bathed in the red glow of the fire. This was bliss. Paul sat thinking to himself that this was a perfect moment. So perfect, he wished there was a camera that could capture not just the surroundings, but the feelings experienced in the moment. Jane snuggled up closer to Paul and rested her head on his chest. He held her gently and stroked her hair lovingly. She could feel the goosebumps on her arm developing as her cheeks became flushed. Her heart began to pound. She took a deep breath and felt the love she had for him rush over her. "I love you, babe," she whispered, almost as if she didn't want to stir and wake the wildlife around them. "I love you more," Paul replied. "To those very stars we see and all the way back," he said playfully. The stars were magnificent, made all the more brilliant by the frequent gusts of wind and chirps of crickets. The trees around them seemed to have closed in somewhat, providing them with a shelter. It was their sanctuary, a place that would keep them safe forever. They would never have to leave. The glow of love emanating from the couple seemed to be mirrored by the flickering sparks of the flame as it danced along the bundles of wood piled into the fire pit. The blanket felt unusually comfortable, seeing as it was the only thing between the lovers and the ground. Paul lowered his hand and laid it to rest on Jane's cheek. He gently raised her chin upwards and kissed her ever so slightly. She returned the kiss and brought her hand up to his neck. They squeezed each other tightly in a lover's embrace. "Why don't we get into the tent?" Jane asked. "I don't want any ants or bugs joining in with us," she continued jokingly. They left the blanket where it was and made their way into the tent. It was dark in the tent, with only light coming from the flame they had left behind. Their clothing came off faster than their hearts were beating. They embraced in the nude, just holding each other close and tight. Their lips once again met, and the passion flowed right through them. The kissing grew harder and embraced tighter. They held on to each other as hard as they could, holding each other as close as possible. It was as if they had become nature. The way their bodies intertwined and moved in a fluid motion with no spoken words was incredible. Neither of them said a word. They instinctively knew what to do at each exact moment. This was the perfect moment between them. The peace and quiet surrounding them, gentle gusts of wind rocking the tent ever so slightly. Nothing else mattered to them in this moment. It was them and only them. They were one. Their gentle touch turned ferocious. The more they kissed and touched each other, the hungrier they grew. Lovemaking turned into raw and unadulterated primal lust. The silence of the night was broken by the ecstatic scream Jane emitted in satisfaction. Their post-coital glow eclipsed even that of the fire and lust before them. They laid comfortably, nude bodies still entangled in their tent. Paul could feel his eyes embracing heavy as his thoughts drifted back and forth. Jane nestled her head on his shoulder and just took in the moment of bliss. As if, of course, natural, Jane felt the pressure build up in her bladder. As she slowly lifted herself into a sitting position, she jolted awake Paul from his dreamlike state.
"What's wrong, babe?" he asked with concern.
"Nothing. Just need to step out the tinkle," she replied him.
"Okay, I'll be here waiting. We can get that fire going again if you'd like,"
Paul asked, as she was already out of the tent and walking towards the portable toilets set up at the campsite. Paul smiled as he pulled his trousers back on and buttoned up his shirt. He would stoke the fire so they could once again sit in the beautiful orange glow the fire gave. Fully dressed, he stepped out of the tent and made his way to the fire pit. As he walked, he bent sporadically to pick up small twigs that would make for kindling. Soon enough, he had what seemed sufficient and set it down in the fire pit. Stacking the logs on top of the kindling, a spark caught on and the fire began engulfing the wood. The portable toilets were less than 20 meters away, and Paul tried to estimate how long Jane had been gone for. Maybe nature had called and she had to evacuate her bowels rather than just take a piss. There was no way that she would get lost. They had frequently visited this area dozens of times and navigated it in broad daylight as well as the night. Paul was about to shout out to Jane when he heard it. It sounded like a mixture of a scream and a howl. The pitch and volume that was produced was like nothing he had ever heard. Paul had heard his fair share of wolfpack howls and many other creatures, but this was not any of them. His mind immediately started racing, wondering what it was and where the hell Jane was. The volume of the incredible noise made it impossible to say what direction it came from. Frantically looking for his flashlight, he felt an impending sense of dread that whatever made that sound was near Jane. Rushing towards the trail that led towards the toilets, Paul nearly forgot the hunting rifle he carried on these trips for safety reasons. He picked it up, made sure that there was a bullet in the chamber, and rushed headfirst onto the trail. Before Paul reached the toilets, he froze dead in his tracks. That demonic scream once again disrupted the silence of the night. The bravery Paul had to find Jane immediately turned to the depth of fear he never thought was possible. Again, Paul could not distinguish where the sound came from. It was almost as if it came from inside every single tree that surrounded them. Maybe there was more than one creature that would make that kind of sound in unison. What had initially felt like a protective dome of greenery had now become a terrifying cage he could not get out of. The surge of adrenaline drove his actions as he felt himself being propelled forward. He had not come all this way to turn back and leave Jane alone and scared with that animal screaming like that.
Paul added to the mess around the toilet area. He completely emptied his stomach as the vomit flew out of his mouth. He stood, heaving up the last bits of undigested food and bile right at his own feet. He couldn't move. Blood covered every single part of the area surrounding the toilets, from the trees to the actual structures of the toilets. It resembled a pig slaughterhouse. The metallic smell of blood overpowered the normally beautiful smell of pine in the woods. As Paul gathered the strength to move his flashlight around, the sickness washed over him yet again. Strung on various different trees were intestines, dripping blood onto the earth beneath them. Paul didn't know much about the anatomy of the human body, but it sure seemed like a lot of intestines to be in a body. As the beam of light moved over the crimson stains, the many more sources of the blood were discovered. Strewn across the ground were arms and legs. They were scattered a few meters apart, and looked as if the creature had eaten a little bit of flesh off of each one. There was bone and tendons visible from each body part. The arms and legs looked to have been ripped off with tremendous force. What could have done such a thing? With a more than trembling hand, Paul kept the beam moving to try and find what he knew he was going to see. Impaled on the tree branch was a bloodied and severely gashed head. Through the blood and disfigurement, Paul knew it was Jane. In this moment, he could do nothing but whimper. He heard branches snap to the left of him and swiveled to see the beast that had done this. Glowing red eyes, a deeper red than that which soiled the earth, stared at him through the trees. It did not burst through the trees. It was an apex predator. It had no need to rush for its prey. The creature was massive, resembling a hulking wolf that stood on its rear two legs. It seemed to stretch in height almost to the tree line. Dark, thick fur covered its body, the snout of the beast absolutely soaked and dripping in the blood of its victim. The red eyes seemed to pierce Paul's soul, claiming it as its own. It froze him where he stood. Once again, the ear-bursting scream rung out, freeing Paul from the trance-like state he was in. Stepping backwards and trying to gather his thoughts, the weight of the rifle in his hand reminded him he had some sort of protection. As an avid hunter, Paul had the aim of an expert marksman. He took aim between the glowing red eyes and squeezed the trigger. He felt the rifle kick back, and his ears rang from the deafening roar of the bullet exiting the gun. Paul knew without a smudge of doubt he had hit its mark, but the creature was unperturbed by the shot. The bullet did absolutely nothing against the colossal creature. With the fight-or-flight sensation ravaging his body, fight had failed, flight was the only option left. Paul turned and ran as fast as he could. Not being a man of religion, the sight before him seemed to convert him. As he ran back towards the campsite where his satellite phone would be, he said the Lord's Prayer as he had been taught in school. If there was a God out there, Paul hoped the Lord would protect him from this evil.